Okay, we're beginning here with the new parak at the bottom of Lamed Amud Bet, and the Mishnah says, "Beit Shemai Omrim, Hekdesh Taot Hekdesh." That when someone makes a mistake in being Makdish something, it nevertheless goes through, and you're successful at creating that Kedusha or that Hekdesh. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, and Hekdesh, that it's not the case, that Hekdesh Taot, a mistake in Hekdesh, is a mistake that causes it to unravel, and whatever you were trying to do is not accomplished. Ketzad, what is an example of this? Amar shor shachor sheyetzei mibeiti rishon. This black ox that will come out of my house first. Harihu hekdesh. It is hekdesh. And sure enough, v'yatza lavan. And a white one comes out instead of a black one. Beit Shemai umrim hekdesh. Beit Shemai says it is hekdesh. Here, there is a machloket rishonim. As to how to explain this, there's one of two possibilities, and the entire Gemara can be read in these two possibilities. The Mefarish himself brings both possibilities. Tosafot favors one of the two approaches, but either you could say Hekdesh means the white one is Hekdesh. That's the Ta'ut. He thought it was going to be a black one that came out. Instead, a white one comes out. And sure enough, the white one's Hekdesh, because Hekdesh B'Ta'ut is Hekdesh, according to Beit Shemai. The other possibility is that not the white one is Hekdesh, but the first black one to leave the house will be Hekdesh, even though it's not the first shor to leave the house. So you can see that the two opinions really splice this statement, and the question is, which part of that statement is more exact? Which is it the shor shachor that we're focused on, and then sheyetzei b'meiti rishon kind of falls away, or is it the other way around? The one that came out of my house first is the most important one, and then the shor shachor is kind of just commentary on what he thinks is going to happen. Beit Hillel says, like you're suggesting, and Hekdesh. He made a condition. He makes a statement. He wants the Hekdesh to work based on his statement, and therefore, there's nothing doing over here. Dinar Zahav, she'aleh b'yadi rishon. The first coin that comes out of my pocket, which is going to be gold, harihu Hekdesh, that is Hekdesh. Vala shel kesef. Instead, he gets a silver coin coming out. Beit Shemai umrim Hekdesh. Beit Shemai says Hekdesh. Again, you'll the same issue, which is, does it mean that it is the silver coin is Hekdesh? Or the first gold coin that emerges from his pocket will be Hekdesh? Beit Hillel umrim eino Hekdesh. Beit Hillel says, doesn't conform to what he had said, and therefore it's not Hekdesh. And again, one more example. Chavit shel yayin shetaleh biyadi rishona. The barrel of wine that will come into my hand first, Hari Hekdesh, Valtaha Shel Shemen, and instead it was a barrel of oil. Beit Shemai Omrim Hekdesh, once again, Beit Shemai says it's Hekdesh, Beit Hillel Omrim, Eino Hekdesh, it's not Hekdesh. Why you need three examples over here? It's the exact same cases. Tosafot basically says that it's a Lozu Afzu, which is, we're going to give you this, and then I'll give you a bigger Chiddush, and then even a bigger chiddush. Not only this, but this, not only this, but this. What are the chidushim? In the first case, when you talk about shvarim, when you're talking about the oxen, white and black is just an external appearance issue. It's inherently still an ox. There's an ox here, an ox there, just a white and black. Over there, you could argue that that type of mistake can be overridden, and that's where Beit Shemai says it. The other hand, when you're talking about the coins, you're talking about silver and gold, which are different metals and different values. But in the end, they're both currency. But then you go to the last case where you're talking about wine and oil. Not only are they not the same and you do not have a common denominator, they're totally different items. And yet over there, Beit Shemai still says, Hekdesh. That's the Chiddush according to Tosafot, that it's Lozu Avzu, that each case brings a greater Chiddush, that despite the differences, it's still Hekdesh, even though there's no commonality between them by the final case. Just to note that when I'm quoting Tosafot over here, most of the Tosafot for this daf are actually found on Daf Lamed Gimel, the daf that only has six lines on it. And that's because the Tosafot for this daf are mostly found on Daf Lamed Gimel. So if you don't see it here when I quote the Tosafot, you can look at Daf Lamed Gimel. That's where the Tosafot is. Beit Shemai Omrim Hekdesh. Mai Tamayu de Beit Shemai. What's the reasoning behind Beit Shemai? As you all correctly asked, why is it that Beit Shemai thinks over here that the person said something? And despite what he said, we still have Hekdesh go into effect. So he says, "Te'alfinan tchilat Hekdesh misof Hekdesh." We learn out the beginning of Hekdesh from the end of Hekdesh. Ma, what is the end of Hekdesh? Matmura afilu b'taot. af hekdesh afilu bitaut. So at the end of hekdesh, or once something is already hekdesh, then you can have tmurah. Tmurah is a din in the Torah, which is hu utmurato iye kodesh, which is that if you try to exchange one animal onto another animal, then that exchange goes through. It is successful in the sense that you're mekadesh the other animal, but the kedusha never leaves the original animal. So hu utmurato iye kodesh. So over there, he mistakenly assumes that he's going to transfer the kedusha from one animal to the other animal. And the Torah says he's still successful. He's successful at getting the kedusha on the new animal, but not at removing it from the old animal. Murah works even when the individual, in a sense, makes a mistake. And hekdesh goes through. So, mat murah afilu b'taut, af hekdesh afilu b'taut. Just like murah works even when there is a mistake made, so too hekdesh works even when there is a mistake made. Beit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel says that that's not necessarily a good comparison. Hani mile tmura. That's the case by tmura. Aval achute hekdesh b'taut lo machtinan. This is a logical and makes a lot of sense what Beit Hillel is saying now. There's a difference between extending an existing circumstance versus creating a new reality, which is that once something's already hekdesh, to spread or expand that hekdesh is much easier than to generate hekdesh, we'll call it ex nihilo, where there was no hekdesh, and now you want to introduce hekdesh. We say the opposite by Tisha B'Av, but when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we say, kol, shlo nivne bayit b'yamav, whoever's generation in which the Beit HaMikdash is not built, it's kilu nechra b'yamav, it's either it was destroyed in his lifetime. But the truth is that that's not a simple conclusion. Once the Beit HaMikdash is standing, or once an item is in place, it's much easier to maintain that status quo, and to be forgiving to leave that status quo in place, than to actually grant the permission and have something built anew. And so that's what Beit Hillel basically says to Beit Shammai. Listen, for you to spread Hekdesh, for Tmurah, that's one thing. The thing's already Hekdesh, and you're just expanding, you're extending that Hekdesh, that's fine. To start here with something that's not Hekdesh, and then make it into Hekdesh, to elevate it to that new status, that new level, that's a much different issue. That's one possibility of explaining it. The other possibility of explaining it is simply, you are extrapolating, you can't extrapolate from one din to another din. Tmura is its own din. Tchilat Hekdesh is its own din. You can't overlap, or you cannot conflate these issues. They don't necessarily have to do one with the other. Well, Beit Shammai, if he says, listen, I want this tmura to work halfway through the day, we don't say that that is tmura immediately. You have to wait until halfway through the day comes about. The Gemara is now asking your question. The Gemara says that even when we say that tmura works bita'ut, we still listen to what he says. Meaning that he articulates something, and his articulation is what we carry out. So if he does tmura with a condition built into it, we don't just say, oh, drop the condition and tmura happens immediately. No, we abide by his condition, and the tmura takes place when he conditioned it to happen. Hochanami, l'chimi galia milto. Let's say the same thing in our case, exactly what you're saying, which is, if he articulates it, we can say a mistake can happen. But over here, to say that what he said, we're not going to listen to, we're going to ignore, we're going to override, that you cannot draw from Tmura. All Tmura says is that when he articulates something that is mistaken, which is that he might have meant something else, he wanted something else to happen, but he articulates the Tmura, and we say, okay, you articulated it, we're going to carry out what you said. That's a ta'ut that we could understand. Over here, where he articulates something, we say, not only is that not what he, that maybe he didn't mean that, but not only that, we're not even going to believe what he said. We're going to alter what he said to make it into something that works. Why should you do that? That parallel does not make sense. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here, and what you've all been bothered about in the sheet of Beit Shammai, which is, he said something. Don't we have to abide by what he said? Samar Papa. So now Rapapa comes along to say, Zakachne my Rishon, Likeshe Yetze Rishon. The Rapapa says, you know what he said, Rishon? Rishon means when it comes out first. Va Shor Shachor Kamar. I mean, what about the fact that he said the black one? Okay, it's okay now that you can say that he meant the first one that comes out, but what about the black one? Now, this will depend on what you think happened in the Mishnah. According to Rav Papa, he said Rishon, l'kashiyetze Rishon. So now, if you believe in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah, according to Beit Shammai, says the white one is Kadosh, then the Gemara's question, the way the Rav Papa is reading it is, when he said Rishon, he meant when it comes out first. That's all he meant. So Gemara will say, but v'hashachor kamar. Didn't he say black? I mean, that if you're telling me now that the white one is Kadosh because he said came out, then what's the meaning of the word black over here? That's the way to read it for this case. If you believe that in the Mishnah, the first black one is Kadosh, then that's exactly what Rav Papa is saying here. When he says, Nemar Rishon, k'shiyetze Rishon, when it comes out, when that one comes out first, that's when it's going to be Kadosh. V'ashor shachor kamar. Didn't he say a black one, and a white one came out first? Doesn't that ruin what he said? Okay, so Gemara says, Milo askinan, delet le elahai. So isn't the case here when he only has this one? So now, what the assumption of the Gemara is, depending on which girsa you go with, is that when he said first, he meant the first of the black ones. And that's what Rav Papa is saying here. That the reason the black one is Kadosh, not the white ones, according to the girsa that the black one is Kadosh, is because he meant, when he said Rishon, he didn't mean the first. He meant the first of the black ones. So the Gemara says, well, aren't we dealing with a case where there's only one black oxen here? So there's only one black oxen. You can't be talking about a case where it's the first black one. When he says first, he means the first one to emerge. So the Gemara says, lo, tzricha, didle, trinatlata. It's a case where there are two or three black ones. And therefore, this is a plausible interpretation of his wording. When he said first, he meant the first of the black ones to exit. All right, that's one way to explain it. According to the other version, which is that the white one is Hekdesh, so then what Rav Papa is saying is, when he said Rishon, he meant Rishon. Rishon means Rishon, the first. Oh, but he did say Shor Shachor. What happened to that? So my lav, so the Gemara says it's the opposite way around now. My lav de treo tlate. Isn't it a case where he has two or three black oxen? And therefore, first of the black could have meant the first of the black, not the white one. So the Gemara says, no, the tzricha de it le'yuchad, that he only has one black oxen, and therefore when he meant first, it obviously meant the first one to exit, and not the first black one, because the first black one doesn't make sense in that context. And that's why the white one is kodesh. In both of these cases, no matter which way you read it, b'tzalalomim, imkein, she'etze b'rishon mibayile. That, again, your question, which is, what's going on with the language? There are three different approaches to what the question of Beit Hillel is. One approach is simply, what is the word Shor Shachor doing over there? I mean that if he wants it to be the first one, just let him say, the first one, leave out Shor Shachor. Beit Shammai will answer that the Shor Shachor is just what he thought. It's a Rishon is what he was trying to do. And Shor Shachor was just what he thought was going to happen, so we dropped that. Beit Hillel says, if you really meant that, just say that, then leave out the Shor Shachor. The other hand, the Balei HaTosafot think that it's a difference between the word Rishon and Birishon. Rishon means first, period. Birishon means the first of others. In that there's a grammatical difference between Rishon and Birishon, which is Rishon would mean the first period of anything that exits. Birishon means the first of a group. And so therefore, the fact is, if he really wanted to say that, he should have said, she'd say Birishon, not she'd say Rishon, which is the first one, period. So that's what Beit Hillel's criticism is. And the Rosh says that the problem is that he added the word in Beiti. Had he said Yatsa Rishon, that would have been fine. But because he said she Yatsa mi Beiti, mashma, that whatever comes out first from my house, not the first of a grouping or first of the black ones, mi Beiti means the first one that exited the house. And he expected a black one to come out first, and this doesn't work because he didn't use the word Beiti. Amalei Rova mi Barnish, the Ravashi. Hi, Hekdesh b'ta'utu? This is an Hekdesh b'ta'utu. Hekdesh b'kavanahu. Rav Papa, what you're now saying is that this is not a mistake, but rather, this is what he meant. What Rav Papa is basically saying is that his statement meant this. His statement meant, depending on which version you do in the Mishnah, his statement either meant the first one to exit is Kadosh, and Shachor was just commentary, or the other way around, which is, I meant the first of the black ones, not the first one to exit my house. But either way, we are interpreting his statement to mean exactly this. which means there's no longer a mistake here, but simply a clarification of what he meant. So Gemara says, that's exactly right. In first blush, his statement would mislead us. But when we look into it, then we realize that that's the case. So now, what Rav Papa has done here is changed the conversation. Before this point, we basically thought that Beit Shammai believes Hekdesh B'taot Shmei Hekdesh, and Beit Hillel believes it's not Hekdesh. And Beit Shammai acknowledged that there was a mistake here, but nevertheless, the Hekdesh works. Rav Papa comes along and says, you got it all wrong. There's no mistake over here. It's simply a matter of interpreting his statement, trying to understand what he really meant. And then, depending on which version of the Mishnah, either we emphasize the coming out of the house first, and the other stuff he thought was a Shor Shachor, but that's not so important, we reinterpret it, or when we say, Shiyatzai Mibiti Rishon Shor Shachor, he meant the first of the black oxen to leave the house, and that's what he meant. But it's no longer a ta'ut, it's simply a matter of interpretation. Beit Shammai says, we're going to interpret his words this way because it makes a lot of sense, and it'll make it into Hekdesh. Beit Hillel says, I still think that the language is difficult given that interpretation, and therefore I will not interpret it that way. But that means that Rav Papa changed the conversation. Generally, when a Gemara switches gears like that, it uses the word Ella. Ella says, we're rejecting what we said before, and now we're moving on with a new idea. Yet, over here, we don't have Ella Amar Rav Papa. So that's missing, which seems to say that Rav Papa is following the previous statement. So both the Rosh and the Tosafot raise this issue and say, where is the word Ella over here? Now you could argue, it's Masechet Nazir. So we don't have the word Ella. But both of them answer that over here, there is no Ella because we didn't have an Amoraic opinion prior to this. There was no other Amora who gave an interpretation before Rav Papa. After Rav Papa, we'll have other Amoraim that disagree. But before Rav Papa, we didn't have. It was just the Gemara discussing the position of Beit Shammai, and therefore the Ella isn't necessary because nobody proffered an opinion until now. So now Rav Papa is the first opinion, and this is the way to read it, Rav Papa says, and that's why the word Ella is missing. Given that, the Gemara's next question is, V'savrei Beit Shammai Hekdesh B'taot Lo Havi Hekdesh. Rav Papa's assumption now is that Hekdesh B'taot is not the explanation of our Mishnah, which seemingly implies that Beit Shammai does not believe that Hekdesh B'taot is Shmei Hekdesh. They agree with Beit Hillel. Hekdesh B'taot doesn't work. Our Mishnah is an issue of interpretation, not an issue of Taot. V'atanan? What are you talking about? Mishnadar b'nazir, v'nish'al l'chachamim, v'etiro. This is the next Mishnah coming up. Right, so it says, that person who took a neder nizirut, and then he got a tarat chachamim, v'aitalo behema mifureshet. And he already had designated animals for this nizirut. They go out and they graze in your flock. I mean that they're not kadosh. The kadosh is unwound. Why? Because the nizirut was a mistake because it's undermined retroactively by the Atarat Chacham. And if nizirut is a mistake, so is the hekdesh of the animal l'shem nizirut. Because you're not a nazir. Now obviously it wouldn't be maktisha l'shem nizirut. And the animal comes chulin. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, Iyatem Mudim, Shekdesh B'Tautu? Don't you agree that this is Hekdesh B'Tautu, the Tetzei V'Tirei Be'eder? And then it goes out to the graze with the rest of the flock? I mean that Beit Hillel says directly to Beit Shammai, isn't this Hekdesh Ta'ut? And you see here that Hekdesh Ta'ut doesn't work, Michlal. And you would imply from that, that the way that Beit Hillel is addressing Beit Shammai, the Savri Beit Shammai, the Hekdesh B'Tautu, Havi Hekdesh. That Beit Shammai believes that Hekdesh B'Taut is Havi Hekdesh, and Beit Hillel is saying, listen, we don't buy this. We don't buy into this idea. And that's why they're questioning, and they're bringing up proof that here, look at this example of Hekdesh B'Taut that doesn't work. Ela Beit Hillel hu dekatau. The Mar's answer for a papa is, Beit Hillel misunderstood Beit Shammai. Savre tamayu de Beit Shammai mishum de Hekdesh B'Taut Havi Hekdesh. They thought that the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's opinion is Hekdesh B'Taut. Rami Lahon, Beit Shammai. La mishum hekdesh b'ta'utu, el mishum da'ate l'diburei kamo. And Beit Shammai says, Beit Hillel, you got it wrong. You're right. As far as hekdesh ta'ut is concerned, you're right. We'll agree with you. We think over here it's a reinterpretation, or it's about the proper interpretation of his statement, and that's what we're disagreeing about. This is the way Rav Papa would have to explain the upcoming Mishnah. Now, what's interesting here is that the Gemara only brings the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, and Beit Shammai responds to Beit Hillel, in the world of Hekdesh Ta'ot, and says, you know what? I'll prove to you that Hekdesh Ta'ot is Hekdesh. As if, not that they're saying, you got it wrong, Beit Hillel, but rather, upholding their opinion. So Tosafot asks, well, if you continue in the Mishnah, it sounds like that Beit Shammai agrees with Beit Hillel's challenge, and they're trying to answer the challenge. So what they say is, Aliva, do you, Beit Hillel, we're answering you. We don't believe that the issue is here is Hekdesh Ta'ot, but now that you raised that issue, we're going to counter the way that you're explaining it. But that's not our reasoning, but we can counter it anyway. All right, so now the Gemara asks again, V'savri Beit Shammai Hekdesh B'Ta'ot Lo B'Hekdesh, Tashma. So here we go. Ayu Mechalchim B'Derech. They were walking along the way. V'Echad Ba K'Negdan. And there's another guy approaching them. V'Amar Echad. One of the guys says, Hareini Nazir, Sizeh Ploni. I'm the Nazir, if that's so-and-so. V'Echad Amar, Hareini Nazir, She'in Zeh Ploni. I'm a Nazir if it's not so-and-so. Obviously, they're arguing about who it is. And then, so one of those two should be a Nazir. The third guy says, Hareini Nazir, She'echad Mikem Nazir. I'm a Nazir if one of you two is a Nazir. She'ein Echad Mikem Nazir. I'm a Nazir if neither of you guys are a Nazir. She'shneichem Nazirim. Or I'm a Nazir if both of you guys are Nazirim. She'kulchem Nazirim. Or because all of you guys are Nazirim, whatever the condition he puts in. She'marim Kulam Nazirim. They're all Nazirim. V'ahocha Hekdesh B'Ta'otu. Here, it's Hekdesh B'Ta'ot. And yet, V'ktani Kulam Nazirim. And they say that everyone is a Nazir. Why? Because Beit Shammai says, as the Mefarash explains over here, everybody said Hareini Nazir. They all started their sentence with Hareini Nazir. Whatever they added afterwards, that's a mistake. Their commitment was to being a Nazir. And as the Mefarash says over here, when the fourth guy comes along and says, Hareini Nazir in Echad Mechem Nazir, then when he says, I'm a Nazir if none of you are a Nazir, Badai Yesh Bechem Echad Shu Nazir. He's saying that in a sarcastic manner. I'm a Nazir if none of you are Nazirim. Meaning, of course, one of you guys is a Nazir, and therefore I'm a Nazir. That's how we're going to interpret. Ubachamishi, and then the fifth guy comes along and says to the first two guys, I'm a Nazir if you're both Nazirim, because you definitely are not Nazirim over here. Turns out that they are Nazirim. So all their statements are all premised on facts that they think, and then the facts turned out to be not exactly what they thought. So in each case, the individual makes some sort of mistake in assessment. So the first guy says it's so-and-so, and the other guy says it's not so-and-so. So they both say Hareini Nazir, and they are so certain that they're right, that they think they're going to be a Nazir. I mean, that they basically are going to be a Nazir, even though they're mistaken in their premise. And so on and so forth, through all the examples here, the individuals are making statements declaring what they think the individual is, or what the Psak Halacha is going to be for these individuals. And sure enough, it turns out that each one of them, despite their being wrong, is a Nazir. And that is basically Hekdesh B'Ta'ot. So there you see clearly that Beit Shammai believes Hekdesh B'Ta'ot, Havi Hekdesh. So the answer, Amrei, Savrei Beit Shammai Hekdesh B'Ta'ot Havi Hekdesh. Aval, Achalo, simple answer, which is that Rav Papa says, I don't say that Beit Shammai does not believe that Hekdesh B'Ta'ot is not a Hekdesh. I just don't think that's from our Mishnah. You can draw that conclusion from Beit Shammai's opinion in other places, including the case of Nazir and including the upcoming Mishnah. But our Mishnah, you cannot prove that Beit Shammai believes that Hekdesh B'Ta'ot Shmei Hekdesh, because the reason in our Mishnah could be, and the way that Rapopo is explaining it is, it has nothing to do with Ta'ot, but rather, actually, the Diburei Kama, that it's a question of interpretation of his statement rather than Hekdesh B'Ta'ot. So in the end, he acquiesces to the fact that Hekdesh B'Ta'ot Shmei Hekdesh for Beit Shammai, it's just not relevant in our case over here. Some suggest the reason being that the case of Nazir is much more similar to the case of Tmurah. In the case of Tmurah, we said that the reason that it works over there, according to Beit Hillel, is because we do what you articulated. You said something, and we abide by your articulation, even though it's a mistake. By our case of Hekdesh in the Mishnah, that's not what he said. And since that's not what he said, Hekdesh B'Ta'ot is not the right way to go. And that's why we have to go to this Derech of Rav Papa, which is that it's a bad interpretation. By the case of Nazir, all of them said Hareini Nazir. They all did say Hareini Nazir. And therefore, there are some that want to explain here that this is much more similar to the case of Tmurah, which is that they're all making a statement of Hareini Nazir. And then they're adding on that I think I'm right. But their basic statement is Hareini Nazir. And that's like the Tmurah case, where the Ta'ot is simply you think something's going to happen and you think this is right. But your basic premise is, I'm trying to move Kedusha from one to the other, and it works. Say I'm going to be a Nazir. There are mistakes in your understanding of what the circumstances are, or what the Pesach's going to be. But you're still a Nazir, and therefore, since it's parallel to Tmura, over here, we're going to say that this is where Beit Shammai says that Ta'ut is Hekdesh, but not by the case, or Bar Mishnah, where the call it the Ta'ut is too big, because you did not articulate what you wanted to happen in the end. Alright, so what we had earlier in the Masechta, where you have this issue of Hafla'ah, that you have to articulate with certainty that you're going to be a Nazir, that's basically what they're saying is happening over here, according to this, that it's Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, is that Harini Nazir. The other information that you put there was to prove your point. And that's, you're trying to convince someone of something that's information. You're so certain you're right, you may say, I'm Harini Nazir, and I'm right. You're just reinforcing that you're right. The fact that you're wrong in the end is not so important, because it's not really a condition built into your Nazirot, but rather, you're trying to communicate information to the other person, which is, I'm so right, and I'm a Nazir, if I'm right, shows you that I know I'm right, I'm really right in this situation. And that's not conditioning the Nazirut, but rather, showing or trying to prove I'm right. Showing your certainty in the circumstance. And Beit Shammai says, even though in the end, there is some sort of mistaken premise over here, it goes through. And that's how we have Ekdesh B'Tolot Shmei Ekdesh. Abai Amar, Lo Kesal Kedatcha Tekayim B'Tzafra. You got it all wrong here. It's not a case where he's standing in the morning, and he's saying, whichever one comes out of my house first is going to be the one that I'm makdish, or whichever comes out of my pocket first, or the barrel that I pick up first. We're thinking of this whole Mishnah in the future, which is that he makes the statement, and then in the future we get the facts to determine whether his statement was true or not. Elohachamai eskinan, dekayim betiara. He's already in the afternoon. Bamar, shor shachar shiatzami beiti rishon lavi ekdesh. That it's rather, it's in the past tense. And he's saying, that black ox that left my house first is ekdesh. Bramrule, and they come to say to him, lavan nafak. It wasn't a black ox that went out, it was a white one. Bramar lahon, you have a yadana de lavan nafak, lo amrei shachor. If I had known that a white one was leaving, then I would never have said black. So now the Gemara says, but how can you say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he's standing in the afternoon and talking in the past tense? Vaktani, dinar shel zav, shi'aleh. That the dinar zav that will come out. So today, shalah, change the Mishnah to read that it happened in the past. Chavei shel yayin shi'aleh. So Gemara says again, today, shalta, in the past tense. So the Mishnah, fix up the Mishnah according to Abaye. The solution to the Mishnah is, this is a classic case of Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, because we're going to say that it was done in the past tense, which means he makes a statement. We give him the information that he's wrong, and he says, Apal Pikein. That's what I meant. And then he makes a correction in his statement. So he himself is admitting that there was a mistake in his premise or his misstatement, but he says, I still intended it for it to be Hekdesh. And Beit Shammai says, that's fine. That goes through. That's Hekdesh that goes through. As Tosafot points out, this looks now very similar to the case of Nazir, the way that Abaye is explaining it. Just like the person by Nazir made a mistake based on what he thought he was seeing or the facts in front of him. So to here in our Mishnah now, when it's after the fact, it's a mistake about the facts. And now it seems to be an issue of Hekdesh Ta'ut. The question asked by all of the Rishonim, the Mefresh Sovir, Tosfot asked it later on, why don't we just say it's talking about the future? And say this, he says, Shor Shachor Shiatzemi Beiti. So the Shor Shachor that goes out of my house, now again, by the case of Shor, it's easy, because Sheyetzei or Sheyatzah are spelt the same way. So without Nikudot, you don't know if the Mishnah was talking about the future tense or the past tense. That's why the Gemara never asked about the case of Shor, how do you know if it's future or past? Because it's Sheyetzei or Sheyatzah, you wouldn't know which one it is. It's only in the latter two cases where it's clear that the future tense is being used, because it's a different word, then the Gemara went back and amended the Mishnah in order to conform to the fact being a past tense. But what you could ask is, why not just leave it as a future tense and say that sure that comes out of my house first, that black one, I want it to be Ekdesh. Then tell him, oh, a white one came out. So he said, okay, you know what? Even though the white one came out, I still want it to be Ekdesh, because I just meant the first one. Why can't he just do that after the fact also? So the way that the Mifarej says it is, Lokasha, Dalatid Lavo, En Adam Notin Ladato Lakdisho. When you're speaking about the future as opposed to the past, you can't say that the way that the Tosafot says it is. He's not a Navi. He can't know what's going to happen. Therefore, there's a difference in your statement. When you're talking about in the past tense, you can talk about intent to be Makdish, despite that you got the facts wrong. because something happened, and he just, in his head, had the wrong information about what had happened. And therefore, you're going to say it was a mistake. I intended to be Makdishit. I just thought the information was black and not white. But in the case where you're talking about the future, he can't say that I made a mistake. I intended to be Makdishit no matter what, and I made a mistake. Well, if that was the case, then why did you say Shor Shachor? Shor Shachor was your assumption of what will happen in the future, and therefore, it's basically a part of the condition of what you're saying, rather than a mistaken fact. Mistaken fact can only be after the fact. But when you are projecting forward, then the information that you're giving is part of your statement. It's not a mistaken fact. It's a part of your statement that this is what you want to happen. And that's why you all were bothered by the fact that Beit Shammai, how could it be if that's what you meant, that all of a sudden now we're saying that's not what he meant. So Bai says, agree with you. When you're talking about the future, you can't do that. In the past, you can talk about somebody misassessing or getting misinformation, and therefore it's like a classic mistake that you would talk about. Someone had the wrong information and they made a mistake. Now they want to correct that mistake. Beit Shammai says, based on that, the Ekdesh Tolt is Ekdesh. And that's a Bai's opinion as to how to explain the Mishnah. Right now, we move on to something somewhat disconnected from this, which is Amar Rav Chisda. Ukma b'chivara lakya. If you have a black ox among white oxen, lakya, it is negative. What it's negative for is not clear. Whether it means that the black ox is lakya, is weaker, because it's found amongst the white oxen. It's a misplaced. The white oxen are better and a black one's just not as good. Or lakya means that it detracts from the value of the whole flock. If you're selling this whole flock of oxen, if there's a black one in there, it's going to drop the price on the entire group because black oxen are worth less than white oxen. So something along those lines, that's what Rav Chisda is saying. Chivara ba'ukma lakya. And then again here, a white one amongst black. Now here it doesn't mean a white shor amongst black shvarim because we already just said that the white shor is worth more. But it means that a white splotches or patches on a black shor is also a siman or a negative siman for the black oxen. And again, whether that means that it's weaker, this ox, or it'll diminish the value of the black oxen when they're oxen that also have white patches on them. As Tosfot says over here, that the white spotch on the black cow is an indication that the animal actually had sarat at some point. The Gemara challenges it from our Mishnah. Tanan, shachor, shiatzei mi beiti rishon ekdesh. The black ox that leaves my house first will be ekdesh. Kasakadatcha, we're assuming here, ki makdish, ba'ayin ra'a makdish. That a person is makdish, he does it in the most miserly or constricted manner, but he does it in the most limited form, which is he gives, but we're going to interpret his words in the most limited fashion. Vami Beit Shammai, have a Hekdesh. And Beit Shammai says it is Hekdesh. So what you're assuming here is based on the fact that it's an Ayin Ra, and Beit Shammai says it goes through, even though we're minimizing the interpretation of his words, that seems to indicate that the white one is of lesser value. And this question obviously follows a Abaye's explanation of the Mishnah that we're talking about Hekdesh Tod, and therefore it's the white one that is Mukdash, as opposed to Rav Papa's opinion where we saw, depending on the view of what Rav Papa was saying in the end, could be that it's the white one, and then you could explain this Gemara as well in that vein. But if you think it's the black the one that is Hekdesh, then obviously the question of the Gemara here is not relevant because it's a black one that's Hekdesh, not a white one. Then that means that Beit Shammai believes that despite the fact that the white one is worth more, then he still says it's Hekdesh, which means that we're not giving the most limited interpretation of your statement. We're giving the most expansive view of your statement. The Gemara says, Elamai, so what do you think now? Ba'ayin yofeh makdish? So what do you think that he gives the most expansive view? And that's the way to either solve the problem. If you think the white one is Hekdesh according to Beit Shammai, and you're going to say now, oh, you know what? People give in the most generous manner. And therefore, we even include the white one, which is worth more. Then what are you going to do with the next line in the Mishnah, which is Dinar Shazav, Shaleh B'Yadi Rishon, Vala Kesef? He said gold, and it turns out to be silver. Beit Shammai Omrim, Hekdesh. It is Hekdesh. So over there, you're not giving the most expansive. You're saying that despite the fact that he wanted gold, he's giving silver. That seems to be a more limited interpretation of his words. Elamai. So what are you going to say? Ba'in Ra'a Magdish? That he gives in the most limited or miserly fashion. Chavit Shel Ya'in Shetaleh B'Yadi Rishon, Va'ala Shel Shemen. And oil came out instead. Beit Shammai Omrim, Hekdesh. It's Hekdesh, even though the oil is worth more than the wine. Nevertheless, Beit Shammai says it's Hekdesh. So Bashem and Adif me Yayin, and oil is worth more than Yayin. So Gemara says, Ir Shumha lo kashu. That last piece of the Mishnah is not a problem, because Galila Shanu. We're talking about in the Galil, the Chamra Adif me Mishcha. In the Galil, wine was worth more than oil. And so that's an easy explanation. But still, Reisha kashu the Rav Chista. The Reisha is still a problem for Rav Chista. So once we've done that, then the Mishnah is consistent that it is Ba'ain Ra'a Hu Magdish. And therefore, in the case in the Galil, the Shemen is Ra'a. In the case of gold and silver, silver is Ra'a. And in the case of the shore, it would seem to indicate that the white shore is worth less. Because in the Reisha, it seems that, based again on the interpretation, that the shore that came out is Hekdesh, the white one that came out is now Hekdesh, then it seems from our Mishnah that the white one is worth less than the black one. And that's why Beit Shammai says even Hekdesh Betot is Hekdesh, because giving the white one is not extending or expanding your statement from black to white. It's a lower value, and that's why you're allowed to do it. That goes against what Rav Chista said, that the white one is worth much more. Rav Chista, ki amrei b'torah de kormanae. When I was talking about it, I was talking about this particular type of shore. This particular type of shore, white ones are better. That's not a generic statement about oxen in general, that white ones are better. It's about this particular breed or location or species. They are better when they are white. From Rav Chista. And now we have a more expansive statement about Rav Chista telling us about the colors of oxen. Uchma, the mashche. Black oxen are great for their hides. Sumka, the bisrei. Red colored oxen are great for their flesh, for meat. Chivara, the rajo. White oxen are great for plowing. So depending on what your intent is or what your purpose with the shore is, that will make a difference as to whether the color is worth more or worth less. Or, in essence here, the shvarim of Karmanai seemingly were plowing shvarim, and therefore white ones were the best. Rama Rav Chista, ukma b'chivara lakyo. Didn't the Rav Chista say that a black one amongst the white ones is problematic? But now you're telling me that the ukma are good. Ki amre b'torah de Karmanai. That statement is made about these Karmanai, where the white ones are the best. Therefore, if there's a black one mixed in, it lowers the value. Okay, so over here you just have Rav Chista's making a statement that's really not related to our Gemara at all, talking about the value of Shvarim. And obviously Rav Chista's statement, as Tosfot says, is just Lamecha Chumemkar. For commercial reasons, we need to know if a person promises a certain item or a certain type of shore, the color will matter based on what the purchase was for, what the transaction revolved around. The Gemara attaches it to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah seems to indicate that a white shore is not worth more than a black shore, and therefore, even if you were to donate in the most limited and miserly fashion, if you said black and white came out, we would still say the white is Hekdesh, showing that the white is not worth more than black. And the Gemara says that's not a problem, because it depends on the species or the purpose for which one is engaging these oxen. And we could explain our Mishnah in one case, and explain Rav Chista's statement in an alternate case. Okay, we'll just read the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we just quoted before as to the proof that Beit Shammai says that Hekdesh Bedut Shema Hekdesh. And the Gemara said, no, it was just Beit Hillel making a mistake about their opinion. Misha Nadar Ben Azir, person took an Nezirut, and he shalach Chacham, and he gets a Tarat Nedarim. Vasro, and he says, no go. The Tarat does not go through. First time we've ever seen this in Nedarim or Nezirut. The Chacham denies him the right to Tarat Nedarim. Moneh Misha Shenadar. Then, the beginning of his nizirut is not from the day that the Chacham paskins that it's a good nether, but just like the Chacham would be oker it retroactively, when he upholds it, he also upholds it retroactively. And the Mefarish over here says the Chiddush is that, despite the fact that in those earlier days, he drank wine with mitameh the meitim, assuming that the Chacham is going to be matir the nether, and now he finds out that the Chacham is not matir the nether, nevertheless, those original days count towards his nizirut, despite the fact that he did not treat them as if he was a Nazir. It's like as if time served already counts towards your Nidr Zirut. Nishala Chacham Etiro. On the other hand, if he gets a Hatarat Chacham, and the Chacham grants him the Hatarah. According to the Farish again here, the Chiddush is that, despite the fact that he kept the Dine Nizirut, still when the Chacham is Matirit, it's Oker the Nether Mi'ikaro. Haitala Be'ema Mifureshet. If he had a Be'ema that was segregated for the nether nizirut, it goes out as if it was never Hekdesh. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, Iyatem Modim Bazeh, Shuek Deish Ta'ut, Shetetzeh V'Tireh Ba'eder, that this is the case where it goes out to the flock, and it's Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, and it falls apart. According to Rav Papa, this is Beit Hillel making a mistake. According to Abayi, who thinks that it is about Hekdesh Ta'ut over here, going back to the previous Mishnah, this is connected to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, Beit Shammai said Hekdesh Ta'ut, Shmei Hekdesh. Beit Hillel says to them, listen, I have a case here of Hekdesh Ta'ut, and I'm sure you agree with me that it's not Hekdesh. Now, Tosafot over here points out that that really is why Beit Shammai is going to agree in this instance. As Tosafot says over here, Kevin de Nizirut lo chalalei, since there was never Nizirut, ain kan Hekdesh Ta'ut klal. It's not really Hekdesh Ta'ut, Avilu Beit Shammai modu, because it's as if there was never a Hekdesh. It's not your classic case of Ta'ut, but rather, we've now rewritten history. And by rewriting history, you were never a Nazir. If you're never a Nazir, then be Magdish for Nazirut never really made sense or never should have happened. Begorazim Hekdesh Ta'ut. And this is worse than a regular case of Hekdesh Ta'ut. Ulkach Avilu Beit Shammai modu, Tetetse V'Tireh Be'eder. And that's why Beit Shammai would agree in this case that it's not Hekdesh Ta'ut, and it actually becomes as if nothing happened because of the way that we rewrite history, given that Achacham is Oker a Neder Me'ikaro, that he's Matcher the Neder retroactively. If you weren't a Nazir, then being Makdish for a Nazir was a meaningless statement or really didn't really happen, just like the Nazirut never happened. And based on that, Tosafot actually says that Beit Shammai could have said that back to Beit Hillel, that this is not your classic case of Hekdesh Ta'ut, but rather the answer then Me'inyanam, that we'll try now to give an answer that is on parallel with Beit Hillel's proof. And even despite the fact that that answer also be knocked off, the true reason why Beit Shammai believes Hekdesh B'Ta'ut Shmei Hekdesh is because of Tmura. Tosafot over here raises an issue that he raised also earlier, which is why does Hafara not have the same din here as Hatara? You can argue that Baal is Migas Gois, that the husband only wipes out the Neder prospectively, and therefore you can't say that the Behema then is a Ta'ut or doesn't exist because Nezirut did exist. Therefore, the Hekdesh is real, and that's why you have a different outcome in that case. But then Tosafot says a chiddush that he mentioned back on Daf Chof Bet as well, which is that by Hafarat HaNeder, even if you believe that it's Me'akar Ka'akar, that it's retroactively nullified, it's still different than the Hatarat HaNeder of the Chacham. Because the Hatarat HaNeder of the Chacham eliminates the Neder as if it didn't exist ever. Whereas when it comes to the Hafara of the Baal, even if you say that that is retroactive, the Neder still existed for a short period of time, and then it was eliminated. Or the Neder exists, and you're just negating the Isurim that are associated with it. And for that small Chaluta Neder that takes place by the Hafarat HaBaal, that generates all these other outcomes, which is that the Hekdesh would remain in place, and all the other things that we saw that are different about Hafara than Hatara. And the difference being that Hatarat HaCham is premised on Harata, regret, which undermines or wipes out the Neder completely, whereas Hafarat HaBaal is Gzeret HaKatuv, that he's allowed to nullify it, not that the woman didn't want to take the Neder, or that she never wanted the Neder to go into effect. It's an imposition of the Torah, that Gzeret HaKatuv, that the husband can be Mefer, the Neder of the wife. So Ramalem Beit Shammai, Iyatem Modim, I have a case of Hekdesh Ta'ut, well, you're going to agree also, which is a case, B'mishita, person who's doing the Maiser Be'ema, Maiser Be'ema works by where the animals are exiting from the corral, and he counts. And every tenth one is Kadosh B'Maiser Be'ema. B'mishita, V'kara L'tshi Asiri, the person in his count made a mistake, and he called the ninth one that exited the tenth one. Ula Asiri Tshi'i, and he called the tenth one the ninth one, meaning he mixed up their numbers. Ula Achadasar Asiri, and he also calls the 11th one number 10. Shu Mikudash. Oh, in all those cases, they're all Mikudash. The tenth one is Kodesh, because it is the tenth one, even though he mistakenly called it something else. The ninth and the 11th one are Kadosh, because he called them 10. And so he's Magdish them. So here you have Hekdesh B'Ta'ut. It's clear here he made a mistake. He miscounted. And he called 9, 10, or he called 11, 10. And that's what's generating the Hekdesh over here. Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, Shmei Hekdesh. I'm letting Beit Hillel, lo, Ashevet Kidsho. They shave it. The staff is what is Mikadesh over here. They're describing the process of Maaser Be'ema, which is, we say this in the Tana Tokef, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going out Kibbei Maron, that they're exiting like the sheep, one by one, single file, and the Roeh, or the owner, is sitting there, and he takes the staff, and he counts them, one, two, three, and he touches them with the staff. And when he makes a mistake and says 9 is 10, he says 10, but the staff, that's what's Mekadesh it. You know how I know? Because Ma Yilu Tav Eniyach Teshevet Al Shmini, Al Shneimasar, because if you call number 8, 10, or you call number 12, 10, Shema Saklum, maybe it has any effect? No. It's not just because you called it 10 and made a mistake. Ela Katuv Shekidesh Asiri, Hu Kidesh Ad Shi'i Vet Achadasar. The Pasuk that was Magdish the 10th was also Magdish the 9th and the 11th. In other words, it's a Gzeira Takatuv. It's deemed to be Maiser Beima, but it's a Gzeira Takatuv. How do I know it's a Gzeira Takatuv? Because it doesn't work for anything you call 10. The fact that you called it 10 and that mistake is what generates the Akdesh, no matter which one you call 10, should be Akdesh. The fact that it's only the proximate Beimot, 9 and 11 on either side of 10 that are Kodesh, that shows you that it's a Gzeira Takatuv and not because of the Ta'ut. It's generated by a mistake. But it's not just the mistake that does it, but rather, it's the mistake through the Gzeira Takatuv, which says that when you make such a mistake, it's Hekdesh. Then it's not telling us that Hekdesh B'Ta'ut is Hekdesh. It's only saying that in this case, when you call something 10 and the proxy one's 10, that's the equivalent of Meiser Be'ima. And it's Gzeira Takatuv, and you can't prove anything from this or extrapolate from this. Okay, we'll stop here by the Gemara on the top of Lamed Bet, Amud Aleph.